Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Cruise Control with Jonathan and Christian Cruz, only on MSL.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Cruise Control. You're with your hosts, Jay Cruz and Chris Cruz. Chris Cruz, say what's up to the people.
Hey, guys. Just want to say welcome back to another episode. We're excited to have you guys back. Now we're going to get right into it. It's going to be an exciting show, so I hope you guys are ready. So, Jay, what we got for the people tonight?
So the topics that we got for you guys tonight is Stan Lee talks about Iceman being gay, top paid YouTube stars, and Resident Evil 6 to be released on PS4 and Xbox One. So let's get it started. Let's start it off with the video game, Resident Evil 6. Now, the Resident Evil franchise is one of the biggest video game franchises to date. So, I mean, it's very popular. Me and my brother love the games, love the movies. So, Resident Evil 6, which came out for Xbox 360 and PS3, you know, it didn't do so well. It was compared to as one of the worst in the franchise. And yet, they're thinking about releasing it for Xbox One and PS4. What do you think about that?
I mean, I guess it's quite common for a game to be, you know, be, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, it's pretty common for a game to be made into, like, a next-gen system game. For example, like, when Resident Evil 4 came out for the GameCube, it was also later released for a PlayStation 3, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not uncommon for that to happen. Whether they should do it or not, I'm not sure. I mean, the game didn't sell as well. It wasn't received as well as they would have liked. I mean, Resident Evil is a huge franchise, and it's seen quite a lot of success, but Resident Evil 6 in particular wasn't as successful. So for them to do this so far down the road, I don't know if this is necessarily a smart decision. But if they think if they're going to, you know, update the game a little bit or change anything in the game, maybe it's just the graphics, I don't know. But if they, hopefully if they do release it for a next-gen console like PS4 and Xbox One, maybe they'll have some little updates to the game, maybe make it a little better. I'm not sure. I don't know if they're just changing the graphics to the game, updating it for a next-gen system. But I hope they improve the game because it wasn't well-received. I haven't played it. We have the game, but we just haven't played it, and it's been a long time coming. But, you know, it's just, from what I've heard, it wasn't the best in the series. I guess, to be honest, the one that's still labeled as the front runner in that category would most likely be Resident Evil 4, which I've recently brought up.
Yeah, Resident Evil 6 is probably notorious for being the main series' Resident Evil game with the poorest critical reception, because it pretty much abandoned the franchise's survival horror roots and almost entirely in favor of being a third-person shooter. So it's not surprising that the game would have a general lack of love, you know. But I'll be pretty excited if they, like, remastered it, came out with some new points to the game, you know, better graphics and whatnot, because Xbox One and PS4 are the newest-gen consoles, so maybe they'll update the game a little bit. They probably wouldn't be able to do too much, otherwise it'll just change the game entirely. And at that point, just might as well name it Resident Evil 7. But, I mean, maybe, you know, obviously up the graphics and put a little new things here and there if they are planning on coming out with Resident Evil 6 for the new consoles. Because from what I read is Capcom is trying to focus on, you know, remastering some of its old games and getting them on the new console. On the new consoles, instead of coming out with the new work like so sudden or back to back, they want to master the ones that they do have and try to get them on the new next gen, meaning Xbox One and PS4, to make them better, you know, get replayable games and you know, people like them more with better graphics, you know, because people love the games probably when they came out, and then have them play it again with better graphics and a different feel to it, you know, people might love that as well. So that's pretty much Capcom's way of thinking right now, is that they want to come out with the old games or the new gen instead of, you know, continue to come out with new Resident Evils, which not saying that they're not going to, but their focus right now is on the older game. And maybe they can do something to help Resident Evil 6 since it wasn't well received.
You know, that's not a bad thought for Capcom to redo some of their games, put them on next-gen systems. I mean, if you take beloved games that people have loved that were well received, I mean, you put them on a next-gen console with updated graphics, and I don't know if they're going to update anything else, but even if you update the graphics, you know, it just gives it a replayable factor that might not have been there once the game has been past a couple of years. I know a lot of gamers that, you know, yeah, they still love the game, but it's not as replayable because the graphics or the gameplay is out of date. You redo the game a little bit, set it up for next-gen with the higher, you know, with better graphics. Now the game becomes instantly replayable. You replay a fun game, and, I mean, what's not to like about that? If that's what Capcom's going for, I like it. For Resident Evil 6, I'm not sure if I like it for that game in particular, because it is a recent release. It's nothing like the game came out like 10 years ago. It's pretty much, it came out right before the next-gen consoles came out, so... Or it came out a little bit after, I'm not sure, but it's not a very old game. I mean, if they're willing to do that, yeah, I mean, it might add some, like, play extra, like, replayable factor to the game, I'm not sure. So let's see how that goes for them. Frankly, I'm sure, I don't know if that'll make the game, like, a better seller or anything, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, exactly. All we can do is wait and see, and see how it turns out, but you know, I'll be looking forward to it if they do come out with it on Xbox One and PS4. So let's move on to our next topic. So what we're going to be talking about next is the beloved character Iceman from the X-Men. He's one of the original founding members of the X-Men and has been around in comics since, you know, pretty much X-Men came out. You know, and there's fewer things that are more controversial in comic books anyways. When a writer makes a change to a key element of the established and beloved character, you know, like kill them off or just change something in their personality or change their powers or anything like that, you know. Well, in this case, you know, for a long time it was believed that Iceman was straight and, you know, a ladies man, you know, always flirting with girls and going on dates and whatnot. Not too long ago, one of the writers for the X-Men changed Bobby's or Iceman's sexuality and made him gay. And it was a big controversy among fans because for the longest, everyone thought he was, you know, straight. What, I mean, first off, tell me your opinion on that matter.
I mean, well, for the longest time, they made him like the playboy of the X-Men. You know, he was pretty boy, went around trying to get, you know, flirting with a lot of the, like, the females along with Gambit, who was another major, like, playboy in the X-Men franchise universe. But to be honest, all the issues of X-Men I've read or seen or the incarnations or adaptations I have seen, such as on television or in the movies, Iceman has never once, you know, come across as homosexual. I mean, I think that's coming from left field. I mean, in the character, for example, the character to me doesn't have maybe necessarily, they've never hinted at it before this, so I think it comes from left field. Now, if they wanted to do that, that's fine, but why take on an already existing character whose foundation is pretty much already laid down and come up with a whole new way, I guess, something new and fresh for him? But if they wanted to add homosexuality to a character, they could have done that with a new character or maybe a character that they were already heading in maybe a direction like that. I feel like it came out of left field for Iceman in particular. Not that I have a problem with the decision they made. I just think it's a little strange to take that character and give him such a different storyline, a different character trait than what they've already established with him.
Yeah, and the way they did it was pretty unique in the storyline. They pretty much made like a past or a younger Bobby, you know, come out as gay and he didn't know what was wrong with him. And then, you know, he was wondering, he said, how can he be gay but the older version of himself not be? And then, you know, they're like, I don't know. And then the younger version went to go talk to his older version. And then he finds out that the older version is actually gay, but he's been hiding it because he didn't want to be labeled as a mutant and gay, because that, you know, that would be too much for him to take. But then they find out that he was just pretending to be straight, you know, or wishing that he was straight. So going on through life like that. But then, you know, the famous writer, Stan Lee, he got asked about Bobby's, you know, sexuality and whatnot and what he thinks of it. And he says, I wasn't involved in that. It may have been after I stopped writing the books. I didn't really have any gay characters, or if they were gay, I didn't play up the fact. And he goes along to say that he doesn't care what happens as long as they tell good stories, and they do. So the fact that they made Bobby gay, he says he doesn't care as long as they continue to write good stories based on his characters. So, I mean, I feel like that's a pretty good response, you know. As long as the story is good, it shouldn't matter if the character is gay or not. But the fact that they made a beloved character gay, I mean, that's something that you can take a look at and say it's a good step, you know, into the future or whatnot.
I mean, they took a character that was well-received, and they did have their own spin on it. And I agree with Stanley. As long as the story is well-written and you have, like, a solid, like, framework in mind where you want to lead the character, because essentially, if you're trying to tell a story, and you're trying to, I guess with every writer anyway, when they want their story to be have a message and be received, like, for that message. So, for example, like with the way they're trying to take Bobby's character, Iceman's character, is with the homosexuality storyline, what I hope they're attempting to do is help people who are struggling with the same thing, or who people who read it might help them out in their own endeavors or with their own homosexuality. And I think that's what they were going for. I hope that's what they were going for when they decided to do that to the character and try to tell an interesting story that will help sell the comic books down the road and make Iceman an even more beloved character.
Exactly. I always felt like the reason for the X-Men comic books, why they were so popular, is because it took people who felt like they were not normal or out of place and didn't belong and put them in a group to where they were accepted. And, you know, there's a lot of people that feel like that, and that's why I feel like the X-Men have done so well, because the concept of mutants is pretty just people who are not out of ordinary or
it's a discrimination
have something unique
story.
About them. Exactly. It's a discrimination story. So, I mean, the fact that they made, like, a mutant gay or whatever, and they've had other, like, gay comic book characters. He's not the only one, but he would probably be one of the most popular ones. And, you know, Marvel is doing this whole, you know, diversity thing where they're trying to make changes or come up with new characters, you know, to build their characters and make them unique to go along with what this age is. And this age is all about diversity. So the fact that Marvel is headed in that direction, it's not going to mean much unless they continue to roll out good stories. Because, yeah, they could make Bobby or Iceman gay, but if they just, like, fade him off into the background or make his stories really simplistic without mentioning that fact again, then it's not going to mean much, you know, if they are trying to diversify their characters and their company ultimately. So they have to continue to come up with good stories for his character. And then, you know, casually mention that aspect, I mean, if they want to continue to show how diverse they can be.
Yeah, I mean, what I think is that, you know, with entertainment, what's the accepted idea nowadays? It's the more popularized idea, the way people believe others should think, would be acceptance. That would be the key word I would use. So they try to dabble with different storylines and different very difficult ideas or notions that people might view in a different way, and they put them in there and they make it seem acceptable to the public so that more people would accept it. And maybe we won't have discrimination, because in the end, the X-Men in particular is a discrimination storyline to a group of people that are a little bit different from the norm, that have come together and, you know, they go around using what makes them different what makes them special, and they help other people. And I believe when you throw that in the story and you put that out there and you tell people that it's okay to be different and that everyone should be accepted for who they are, I think that's cool. And essentially, I think that's the heart of X-Men. And they go further with creating different storylines and throwing that in there, making, like, for example, Bobby being homosexual, or what DC did in making Wally West black later on in their storylines. You know, something like that. And I think that's how they try to establish, you know, with underlying tones that maybe it's acceptable for heroes to change up or for something drastic to happen, you know, to be comfortable with it, you know, be comfortable in your own skin. And that's the message I get from it, or at least that's what I want to believe they're trying to say. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but you never, but that's what I like to take from it.
Exactly. I mean, and I agree. And I just, Bobby Iceman is one of my favorite X-Men, if not my favorite X-Men, and one of my favorite comic book characters. And the change to him, you know, I kind of like it. I find that, you know, they're going out of their way to diversify the characters. So, you know, I'm all for it. But so that's where I'm just going to end this topic at, guys. So we have reached the halfway point of our show. I just want to thank you for listening to Cruise Control. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be right back. So stay tuned, guys.
Interested in being a sports writer or a lifestyle writer from Miami Sports and Lifestyle? Or how about being that next great radio personality? Hit up at 305 Sports and Life on Twitter for more information.
Interested in advertising or sponsoring with MSL? Working for MSL as a writer? Even having your own radio show? Or do you have more of a business mind and want to bring your talents down here to South Beach? That's right. MSL has a big-ass help on the sign up. Writers, radio personalities, marketing directors, website managers, positions are open. Apply today and make this money. Miami Sports and Lifestyle, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a campaign underway. Let's give Miami the exposure that it deserves via Miami Sports and Lifestyle. MSL to ESPN. Love it, know it, support it.
Attention Miami, MSL is looking for writers for the Miami Dolphins, Miami Heat, Miami Marlins, Florida Panthers, Miami Hurricanes, and Florida International University Panthers. If you are interested, contact Stephen Err at Stephen_Err@yahoo.com for details. Join the MSL team today.
We at MSL have a new blog site underway, miamisportsandlife.wix.com/MSL blog for all your content surrounding Miami sports. Official site coming soon.
This is Andrew Powell, host of the Andrew Powell Show and the CEO, founder of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. As you all know, I talk about marijuana a lot on my show. I do consider myself an advocate for the legalization of marijuana. And why? Because this is a medicine that helps so many different diseases, including cancer, and if it were legalized, it could eventually form a cure for cancer. And we've all been affected by cancer before with family members. We need to legalize medicine because not only does it help out cancer, but it helps out so many different diseases. So many. We need to legalize cures. And not only that, but legalizing marijuana would decrease black market control and crime and increase tax revenue to give this country's economy a boost. And we all know we need that. This is a beautiful plant that should have never been made illegal in the first place. But because of racism, lies, and greed over the almighty dollar, it's now illegal. And patients and peaceful marijuana smokers suffer everywhere, even in 2015. We need to legalize medicine. We need to legalize peace. Let's legalize marijuana 2015.
The views expressed by Andrew Powell are of Andrew Powell and Andrew Powell alone, and not the company and staff of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. The Andrew Powell Show brings you a fresh sports talk show that stands out above the rest. Tune in Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m., only on MSL Radio.
Play Action Sports League. They are signing up teams for the end of summer adult flag football leagues. You can either go Wednesday nights under the lights at On Brister Park in Coconut Grove, or you can go Saturday mornings at Coral Gables High School. Does your team have what it takes to be a champion? For more info, you could go to www.playactionsports.org or you could call 305-397-5632. Once again, that is www.playactionsports.org or you could call 305-397-5632.
Join TrueConvos.com, the Redskins social network, a place where fans can voice their feelings about the team freely and meet others who feel the same way. Be a part of something big and join True Combos today.
FanDuel has definitely changed my Sundays. It's made it a lot more interesting.
Join over 1.1 million people who've already won money in FanDuel's one-week fantasy football league.
More and more people are starting to find out that this is the way to play.
FanDuel's paying out $75 million a week with immediate cash payouts and no season-long commitment.
And you can see the number of points you're scoring going up and up and up.
You kind of start pacing back and forth.
It's like the best adrenaline rush ever.
Just choose a league, pick your team, and get your cash winnings after Monday night.
You can find a $1, $5, $10, $25 contest.
Try it. It takes a few minutes. You'll have a blast.
FanDuel has more winners and more payouts than any other site.
I've deposited a total of $35 on FanDuel and won over $2 million.
They're the leader. They have the most options, the most players, most winnings.
Try FanDuel today. We'll match your first deposit up to $200. Love it or your money back guaranteed.
You are now listening to Cruise Control with Jonathan and Christian Cruz, only on MSL Radio.
Welcome back, guys, to Cruise Control. You're with your hosts, Jay Cruz and Chris Cruz. Chris Cruz, say what's up to the people.
Hey, people, welcome back from commercial break. So, let's just recap from where we left off before we continue. So far, we talked about a member of the X-Men sexuality who was recently changed. And we talked about Resident Evil 6, a game that's now coming out for next-gen systems and Xbox One and PS4. But that's not it for today, guys. Moving on to the second half of the show. Jay, what we got left for the people?
So, left for the people, guys, the last topic of our show today is we're going to be talking about YouTube stars and the highest grossing YouTube. YouTube is one of the biggest channels nowadays for people to go on, just watch random videos, or even people to put their own work online and for people to enjoy them. And YouTube has gotten so big that now some of the members are making a ton of money just to post videos on YouTube. So we're going to break down some of the highest paid YouTube stars. If you know them, awesome. If you didn't know, then we're going to, you know, inform you a little bit of who they are and pretty much a little bit of how much they made. So before I get into this, do you have any comments on this?
Yeah. You know, I was going to say the reason people love YouTube is because it's so easily accessible. And it's for, in my opinion, it's for your average Joe. Anyone can put a video on there. As long as you love to do what you love to do, you know, put videos or whatever it is, comedy, sketches, relationship advice, makeup advice, whatever that you're into, you put it on there. No one's going to judge you as long as it's clean. And, you know, people leave nasty comments sometimes, but in the end, you know, it's a big community. That's what people love to say about YouTube. It's a huge community. And when you're a serious YouTuber, you know, you can put your content out there and you can, you know, have other people watch what you want to do. You don't need money or need a lot of anything. You just need a passion to do whatever, and I think it's cool. So for the people who excel at, you know, and garner a lot of views and likes from people in that community, it's cool. These are your big YouTube stars. These are your A-listers for YouTube, the average Joes, the people who are above the rest of the average Joes. These are your YouTube stars, and some of them even get boosted to superstardom. Like my boy, Dylan O'Brien. But, Jay, let's go into it. Who are the biggest YouTube stars? Let's see if we know some of the names.
All right. So the first person we're going to start off with is Rosanna Pansino. She estimates at $2.5 million is what she makes yearly. She's a self-trained chef whose baking tutorials have taught millions the science behind a perfect cupcake. Will publish her first cookbook The Nerdy Nummies Cookbook, Sweet Treats for the Geek in All of Us. She's going to be releasing that this month. And earlier this year, Pansino partnered with pan and tray maker Wilton Brands on her how-to series of Nerdy Nummies. So she makes $2.5 million. And for those of you who don't know who she is, again, go watch her videos on YouTube. It's pretty much a how-to on how to cook or bake. So next, we got Roman Atwood, which a lot of you know him. I know I've seen some of his videos. He estimates at $2.5 million. So Punk'd wasn't annoying enough, guys. You know, Atwood, he pretty much came up with the concept to pull pranks on people. He likes to use skunk to spray bystanders and faux flashing your children, pretty much. So he's just a prankster, goes around pranking people, very funny. He has attracted over 7 million followers along the way. So Nissan pretty much partnered with him for a video that ran last January, and he has customers on his online Smile More store that buy his clothing. So that is Roman Atwood. Do you know the first two people that I stated, Chris?
So far, I have no idea who either of them are. However, all I do want to say about the prankster, everyone loves prank videos. I myself am included in this. I will go on YouTube and look at prank videos for days. But, I mean, if you're the pranker, aren't you intimidated or scared that one day that's going to lead to trouble? I mean, you're going around pranking random people. You might prank the wrong person and lead into trouble. Not to mention, it might not be very fun for the one getting pranked. But, you know, I guess you guys like to do it because you get the laughs out of all of us. Because it is pretty funny. Just be careful when you do it, guys. And that's my advice about pranking people. Pranking people you don't know, just make sure you don't prank the wrong person.
That is right. I see all these prank videos, and all I think is something can go wrong, or he's going to get his butt whooped, you know?
I mean, that's what we all think. I mean, you can't just go around pranking people for, like, no reason, expect nothing to happen. But, I mean, who else we got on the list, Jay? Because, you know, besides a chef and a prankster, I'm sure we have lots of other people that are into different things.
That's right. So next up is Lily Singh. She makes $2.5 million. She's known by her YouTube name, Superwoman, the stand-up comedian who leans heavily on her ethnic background. So that is somebody else. So moving on to the next person, which a lot of people know. I know that she flew on the scene pretty recently, Michelle Phan, who makes $3 million. She's a self-taught makeup artist who established herself teaching girls how to paint like their favorite celebrities, including Lady Gaga and Angelina Jolie. So she's a makeup artist, which I know I've heard of her. How about you?
Yeah, she's actually the first person on the list you mentioned that I've heard of. And, yeah, I know a lot of girls love her tutorials. She does give you advice on how to wear makeup just like your favorite celebrities, which is pretty cool. You see, the thing about this, Jay, is that, yes, these YouTubers have gotten so popular that they're making these huge annual salaries, but they started off with nothing. They started off, like, low on the list, and they've built their channels up to where people, like, and love what they're talking about, and they're so diverse. That's the craziest thing. So far, we've had a chef, a makeup like tutorial, like someone who gives makeup advice, and we have a prankster. I mean, just look at that. Crazy stuff.
Yeah, so guys, the last couple people who make the most money on YouTube that was estimated are the Fine Brothers with $8.5 million, Smosh, who have become pretty big with $8.5 million, which I know who Smosh is, and PewDiePie is number one with $12 million. So those are the three people who have been estimated to make the most money on YouTube. Smosh makes, you know, funny videos. PewDiePie makes video game videos, tutorials, while making them funny at the same time. The Fine Bros have, like, a reality thing which just reacts. So, guys, we have reached the end of our show. We hope you enjoyed it. We had another great time with you guys. If you liked the topics we talked about and have your own opinion on them, feel free to message us on Twitter and Facebook. On Twitter at Christian Cruz 66 and Jonathan at JC Films. So guys, thank you again. We'll be back on Monday from 11 to 11:30. Guys, have a good night. Now shut up and drive.